In this episode of the Deming Institute podcast, highlights of the new economic study session number 5 that covers Chapter 8, Schuchart and Control Charts, and Chapter 9, the Funnel Experiment, are released. The use of control charts is fundamental to the Deming philosophy. Control charts help differentiate between common and special causes. This audio clip covers the advantages of distinguishing between common and special causes.
So if you have the understanding to distinguish between common cause and special cause variation, what does Deming see as the advantage?
Primarily that you'll be able to distinguish whether to attribute a cause to a specific outcome or a system.
And how does that help you?
Well, it helps you from overreacting. So I think he mentions later in the chapter the effects of tampering, where we intervene with a system without understanding whether we're adding to the variation, which is often when we make, he's got the two mistakes outlined, to overreact to common cause or to underreact to special cause.
Yeah, it's my experience is it's pretty typical to react to anything you don't like as a special cause.
Absolutely.
If I'm driving through an intersection and some knucklehead runs a red light and hits me, I'm thinking that's very special. But if you examine it from a larger system point of view, not just me being in the car at a certain moment, but the system that creates the opportunity for two cars to be in the same place at the same time, it has to do with how we set up the signals, how we set up the speed limits, how we train drivers, how we certify drivers, how we reinforce the laws and write tickets and all of that stuff, and how frequently we patrol the areas. And that leads to a certain number of collisions and intersections. Just happened to be, I was in an intersection when one happened, for example. But if we wanted to change something about that, we need to change something fundamental in that system.
In this clip, Bill Schirkenbach explains how a sampling plan can affect whether data is in control. Also, Bill explains how management can take the wrong action.
Something is in control or a stable system, depending on how you choose to sample the system. I can show, given control of the sampling plan, I can show any process in control. It can be numbed. So that, and back in the early days at Ford, some enterprising suppliers would show, yep, we're in control, and you sample something every week. And so the focus from management must be to help people take appropriate action. Sometimes the appropriate action is on the line or locally, and many, many times the appropriate action has to be with management. That's a sign of weak management, that someone or something absolutely was special, and yet they call in the entire department.
In this clip, Tim Higgins shares a story on how treating a special cause as a common cause can be costly.
I think I got it from Gypsy Ranny, which was telling a story about a company who had company cars when you needed to go take care of business, and they had a gasoline pump there so you could fuel up the car before you took off. And then they came in one day and discovered somebody had been fueling up his personal vehicle using the company money, in essence. And the solution wasn't to treat that as a special cause. It was to treat it as a common cause. So now their reaction was to lock the pump. And when you wanted to get gasoline, you had to go inside and fill out the paperwork to get the key to unlock the pump, get the key, fill the car, the company car you were getting, lock the gas pump back up, and then take the key back inside and get it documented that you'd returned the key, and then take off about your business. So they treated everybody as if everybody was likely to run over and fill his tank using the company assets. So they clearly increased the cost associated with that whole activity. It's not clear that was an improvement, and it might have been better had they treated that person as a special cause and dealt with helping him find out if he didn't understand the rules, or if he understood the rules, what was pressing on him to decide that it was okay to, in essence, steal from the company.
Tim Higgins explains that the first step to making an improvement to anything is assuring that the process is in control.
Deming offers that the first step when you're working with a process, whatever the process is, it could be the safety program in your organization, could have something to do with producing hardware. What you're looking at is to assure that you have a predictable process, one that's in control, shows no sign of special causes operating. And the reason he's offering that is you can't really tell when you make a change to an unstable system whether you made an improvement or not, because you don't know whether the change in variation is coming from anything you did or from something random that intermittently hits the system, because you've never had the system stabilized to begin with. So his first step and the reason for control charts from his perspective is to help achieve that state of statistical control so that you can do the hard work, he calls it, afterwards, to make an improvement by either narrowing the range of variation or moving the average to another level or doing both.
In this segment, Bill Schirkenbach explains that achieving in-control processes is not the end state.
The thing is that management has got to make it clear that they're looking for improvement. Control or stability is not the necessary end all. I mean, once you're in control, you then try to sample differently and see what you can force to pop out and then correct that, and you're going to be even less common cause variation. It's a dynamic, active tool. Can only be effective if management is encouraging people to take the appropriate action and improve. Control is not an end state.
Here, Bill Schirkenbach explains his view of the Deming cycle as he outlined in his book, Deming's Road to Continual Improvement.
A number of years ago, based on the Deming cycle, I called it the logical cycle. There's a logical, there's a physical, there's an emotional cycle when we try and operationalize any of this stuff. In any event, there are four parts to the logic cycle and four parts to the to the emotional and the physical cycle, and they all start with theory. In the logical cycle, you start with theory. Given a theory, you're able to ask a question. That's where questions come from. You have a mindset, a worldview. You ask questions, you get data. The answers to the questions are data. The only reason you collect data is to take action. You compare action to what you thought the theory was, and you go around the cycle again. Just different words, but specifically in the logical learning cycle. That's the way I've seen it for a number of years.
This clip gives insight into how Bill Schirkenbach starts with management in looking at data.
In the companies I've helped, we start with management data. What are they looking at? And what do they think are the important things they're trying to manage and convey that there's variation? Well, is it predictable? Do some things pop out? And begin to use the control charts in managing the company. Then following some special causes, trends or things popping up or down very nicely catch their interest, since their want, as someone said earlier, to play whack-a-mole on every piece of data. We dig further. And so whether it's finance, whether it's customer satisfaction, and again, it's you're always looking at cost, quality, and delivery, and the speed of all of that. But you know, when I help clients, I start with the data that they think they're absolutely sure that they know what's happening when they're managing their company. And every time we're able to show that there are different ways of looking at the stuff that they think they know cold.
Tim Higgins goes on to explain the importance curiosity plays in people, especially management, looking at their data. Bill Schirkenbach goes on to explain one of the biggest barriers to management accepting the Deming philosophy in general.
Yeah, there has to be some level of curiosity. There's always curiosity there. The question is, can you get it to come out? It's the I wonder if this. I think I know this definitely. What makes you think you know that?
Yeah, unfortunately, curiosity bumps into pride big time.
Yes, it does. I can't ask the question about this thing because I'm supposed to know it. So I already know it. And I'm asking a question about, I wonder if I really know it, shows some level of vulnerability in the prevailing style of management organization.
And operationally, that's what I found as well. It's better to meet one-on-one with these high-powered management or leaders because they're all afraid of asking a stupid question. If you walk into the boardroom and they're all there, they're not going to be open. And so I typically visit them a few times, each of them one-on-one, just to give them some pointers on how they might look at their part of the business. But you aren't going to, until much further down stream, are you going to get any open, less competitive board meetings.
In this last segment, Tim Higgins addresses Schuhart's Three Sigma limits and how statistical process control is a misnomer.
That's what Schuhart was doing. The Three Sigma limits aren't developed out of probability theory. They're his after doing experimentation, which is empirical evidence. He said Three Sigma limits gives me a pretty good hold on not spending money I don't need to spend chasing my tail and not missing something I ought to be spending money on to try to figure out what the cause is. So it was an economic decision based on empirical evidence he'd collected. It's not based on probability theory, which is why Wheeler says it shouldn't be called statistical process control. It has nothing to do with statistics and nothing to do with process control.
Good point.